Greetings, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Celebrate Your Life first ever online Soul Fest. This is proudly sponsored by the Southwest Institute of Healing Arts, which is an award-winning, nationally accredited conscious college with online and in-person classes. My name is Gina Hatzis. I am over the moon to navigate this journey with you. I'm a 25-year international speaker on conscious communication and empowerment. I'm also the visionary of the Too Much Woman movement, and I am so excited to be linking arms with my Greek brother from another mother, Elias. Let me tell you a little bit about him first. He is the author of From the Universe to Our Hearts and a well-known spiritual teacher, healer, and psychic medium. Taking from his experience of being in 5 foster homes and an orphanage as a child, he leads a deeply compassionate, spiritual, teacher-led path. He's completed a 2-year apprenticeship program in Peruvian shamanism and is the co-facilitator of a 4-weekend Earth Honorary Apprenticeship Program. He's also the creator of specialized energy balance sprays. We're going to hear about that, to enhance areas and balance our mind, body, and spirit. In his work as a psychic medium and intuitive, Elias believes that the key to learning is connecting to the signs we receive and listening to our inner voice. Welcome, my Greek brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Gina. Thank you so much for taking this time to be with me. And I love that you do the Greek pronunciation of my name. It's so funny because my name is, you know, in Greek we would say Elias, and American people would say Elias. And, you know, so I kind of combine the two and I say Elias, so, or
love it.
Elias, whichever you prefer. As long as you don't call me like, hey, you. That's it.
We'll see what comes out in this interview.
Right.
I'm really
exactly.
So excited. We could be, you know, sipping coffee on a Greek beach. Let's pretend that we're doing that in Santorini, having this beautiful conversation. Really excited because so many of the themes of what you bring to the world and the wisdom and the experience that you bring resonate so deeply with me. And I don't know if it's Greek roots or not, but I'm really excited to be having this conversation. It makes sense to begin in the beginning. I'm so intrigued. You've been in many different foster homes and an orphanage. Talk to me a little bit about that experience, because it's something that's so foreign to me and perhaps to our listeners, and talk a little bit about how that's informed where you are on your path today. Let's start there.
So I was adopted by Greek Americans. My mom actually had 5 miscarriages before she decided to go get a child. And they wanted a child 5 years or older. And my mom and dad won a trip to Korea. They switched that ticket to go to Greece. A relative came back from Greece with an adopted child. And my mom and dad were 46 and 56 when they adopted me. And that was just, you know, I think that started my whole soul connection with them, for that wanting and manifesting a child. I was in 5 foster homes before I was 18 months old. And that theme of not being good enough or not wanted kind of started my journey. And knowing what my parents knew, and my mom actually had a dream that she would find a baby in a crib, with a blue crib with a white dove painted on it, and they wanted a child 5 years or older. They didn't want a baby because of their age. My mom was born 1919 and my dad was born 1909. So yeah, and they got me in 66. So my parents were in a car. They were driving around to different orphanages, and my mom saw almost everything that she saw in her dream. She went to the hallway, went down the hall, and at the end of the hall in the room, that's where I was, in a blue crib with a white dove painted on it. So that was my start. I didn't start walking, Gina, till my parents got me. And I did not walk until I was 18 months old. The foster home people had the wrong shoes on me. So I didn't learn to walk till I was 18 months old. And then I came to America a month before my second birthday. So that's how I started.
And so this, I have chills because I know a little bit of your story, and I feel like it's such a beautiful way the universe has put the puzzle pieces together of your journey, starting off in such a magical, symbolic way, where you're finally walking, finally being seen, and finally wanted, and all those beautiful signs. Talk to me about how this path, this journey that you've been on, has brought you to do the work that you do today, and tell us a little bit about the work you do today.
So the work, I love the work that I do. I just love seeing people with the aha moments and being able to share and really seeing what I like to call their heart lights, you know, just open up and really getting rid of this piece and really just operating from the heart. So important. I started my journey just fascinated, like any young child, you know, the whole fantasy world was kind of fun. I remember, you know, watching Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie, and I thought all that stuff was really cool, and you know, wishes can come true, and so I was fascinated by that. And stuff happened to me when I was little. I would dream of a relative. We were all in church except for this one relative, and I would wake up, the phone would ring, and that relative that wasn't in the dream was died. So that happened when I was younger. Nothing happened again until I was 32. I became an empath. I would be on the train or on the bus, and my knee started hurting, and the woman next to me would rub her knee, and I'm like, mine hurts right on top here. Isn't that weird? She said, yes. She'd get off the bus. Pain was gone. It would happen a lot of times, and I told a friend about it, and she said, you need to see this psychologist. And I said, so you think I'm crazy? She said, no. This psychologist, her name is Susan Lipschitz, and she actually a master's in social work. And I started studying with her, and she said, you're intuitive. You're an empath. I did some of her workshops, and she said, you know, we're doing a two-year apprenticeship program in Peruvian shamanism. Would you like to be part of it? Of course. I had no idea what it was leading into, and it was interesting how, coming from a Greek background and learning these traditions, how they're both saying the same thing, just different verbiage. You know, many paths all going to the same home. So that's how I started. I started with being the intuitive, the empath, and then I started saying, okay, I did this two-year apprenticeship program. She wants us to go out and, you know, spread this word. Let me start doing retreats. So I started doing retreats. I started doing workshops. And it just snowballed from there. And I think the piece of wanting to give people, letting them know that they're good enough, that they're more than good enough, because my parents did an amazing job. God bless them both. They did an amazing job, always wanting me to feel wanted and needed and loved. And they kept on telling me that we chose you. You were meant for us. Mm. And that was just, you know, I had such a great foundation, but still somewhere underneath, that not being good enough was always there.
Yeah, certainly in our formative years, and those first few years are so precious in informing, even just in our cellular structure, our beliefs about ourselves. And I think what's so beautiful about your story, and why it so reverberates in my knowing and my being, is that all of us want to feel wanted and desired and called on. We're looking for that in love. We're looking for that in our work. We're looking in that, you know, on society, on social media. We all want to feel like someone sees us and wants us and chooses us. And what is so beautiful is that when we really think about it, the chances of us being born are like 1 in 400 trillion. It's this number. I don't even know how many zeros. The chances of that sperm and that egg co-creating. And so we may feel like we're not wanted, but we certainly were called, maybe not even by our parents in many circumstances, in your circumstance, but certainly by the universe. And so I think your story is such a beautiful example of that. Tell us a little bit about what you teach people in your workshops and in your work.
In a lot of my work, it is about intentional co-creating. how do we create with the universe? How do we get what we are truly meant to get? I had a client that came to me one time and she wanted a job. And she's like, I see this job. I can feel the job. She's worked with me for a while. We're talking about, you know, manifesting is all about feeling and really owning it and knowing that you deserve it. That's the important piece, because the word serve is in deserve. And when we serve ourselves, we can actually bring it to, we can feel, you know, the manifesting, the wanting, the needing, the accepting, and co-creating with God, spirit, universe, whatever you want to say, and saying, you know what, this or whatever is meant better for me. And she wrote down on her piece of paper that I gave her homework to do. And I said, write down the job, write down how much you want, let me know how that goes. And she prayed on it, meditated on it. And she said, well, I'm only asking for a $5,000 raise. And in my head, I'm like, okay, I wonder if she asked, could I get this, you know, or better? And I asked her, did you put that in there? And she said, well, I didn't. I have a second interview tomorrow. And I said, just write that on your list and just see, you know, because you're co-creating with spirit. You're co-creating about maybe there's something better for you. So I didn't hear from her for a couple of weeks. And she called me back maybe about 2-3 weeks later. And she said, guess what? I go, you got the job. She said, no, I didn't. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. She said, they told me I wasn't qualified for that job, but I was qualified for the supervisor job that she got a $15,000 increase. So I said, well, what did you write down on your list? And she said, I wrote down, I would like the job that's best suited for me. I would like $5,000 or more, whatever is for my highest good.
I love that. I love that.
And she was able to let go of the outcome. She put her heart in it. She put her mind and soul in it. And look what the universe co-created with her, her intention, her action. And I talk about in my workshops, especially the workshop that I did with Celebrate Your Life in Sedona, I talked about my manifestation equation. And there's pieces of that equation that all have to align for us to get what we want.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I sure can. The manifestation equation is something that I came up with, and it came up right almost at the same time when I was writing my book. I went to a psychic medium myself, and she said, you're a writer. You're gonna write several books. And I'm thinking in my head, no, I'm not, because I'm not a writer. And the universe has a great way of putting us on hold so we can do what we need to do. Well, I got sick and I couldn't work for several months. And I just, that thought came in my mind, you're supposed to write a book. I mean, what am I doing here? I'm lying on my side with the computer typing. And I thought about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, Elias, you have for the last 5 years meditated almost every day on Facebook and did thoughts of the day, whatever came in your mind. Take those thoughts, download them, picture which ones would be right, come up with a theme for the book, and there you have it. And that's how my book was manifested.
Wow.
And
wow.
I came up at the same time, like, what is it that, what's my purpose? And my purpose, what I heard, was to connect, to educate, and to grow. To connect other people to themselves and to the universe, to grow community, to grow people individually, and to, you know, really bring a connection and education and growth for all of us. And I just love that piece. And that's when I was teaching at a community college about how to manifest. And I said, guys, you know, you're here in school. Why don't we do an equation? And I said, you have to have the desire, you have to have the idea, you have to have the passion. Then you have to have the trust, belief, and the faith that's going to happen. And included in that is the thankfulness and the gratefulness. If you're missing one piece in that, it's not going to happen. We can say, I want this car, I want this car. Yeah, but it costs so much. All right, you just canceled that thought.
Right.
You just canceled that faith and belief that you're going to get it. And what's the feeling of the car? You might say that you want a BMW, but you really manifest afford escape. Is it you manifested wrong? Well, the car is what for you? It's freedom. It's the ability to move. It's the ability to get to work. That's what I want. Now, if I get a BMW down the road, awesome. But right now I'm manifesting what I feel. Mm. And that can happen. Anything can happen. My mom and dad always told me this. They said, never take no for an answer. They said, if we did, you would never be here.
Mm. I love that. There's so many pieces to unpack in that equation. And I want to take a moment to underline them, because we all want to manifest our greatest life. We all have desire. We all have this. That's why many of us are listening to this. It's like, give me the goods. How do I get from here to where I want to go over there? And so I love that the trifecta that you've shared with us, you know, having the desire, having the belief, and then having the gratitude is quite simple, but not easy. So let's peel that apart, because there's a different, it's simple to understand, not always easy to do. And let's just start with desire, because I, you know, this is one of my passions, connecting to desire for so many years for myself. I was disconnected from my desire. And I think so many of us are taught to be people pleasers, to be martyrs, to give and serve. And, you know, we hear from the likes of everyone, from Mahatma Gandhi to the greats of Mother Teresa, you know, our first priority is to give and to serve. And we get this message that what we actually desire and want is secondary. Please your parents, please the school, please the boss, please your spouse, you know, do all these great things. But our innate desire, the thing that calls us, that gives us the most pleasure, comes like on maybe a Saturday morning, or maybe, you know, when you have that week's vacation, or maybe in the wee morning hours. And so how important is it for us to, number one, allow ourselves to tap into our desire, number one. And number two, to have clarity about what that is, because so many of us, I believe, are clouded. When I ask people in my workshops, you know, what do you desire? And we do an exercise. So many of us just have a knee-jerk response about what we think we're supposed to want. I'm supposed to want this kind of life, marriage, two kids, you know. So talk to us a little bit about the permission to dream and desire and want something for ourselves.
So at the Celebrate Your Life event in Sedona, I did an exercise where I had them write down, and I've done this in my workshop, for that purpose in Sedona, I had them write down 5 things that they wanted or desired. And in my workshops, I do at least 10. And I said, circle the ones that you feel that you deserve. And you know that maybe some of them, well, a couple people had all of them. There was one woman that had none. And she said, I don't feel that I deserve this. And I said, but the desire is there. And she said, yes, I'd like it. I want it. And I said, but you also have to feel that you deserve it. And I told her, I said, why don't you feel that you deserve it? Why is that? And she said, well, you know, I was taught to give. And I said, great. So I'm going to make, and just because you and I are Greek, I'm going to make some baklava, right? And I have enough, and you're going to make some baklava. And I'm making my baklava, and you're like, hey, Elias, do you have some more honey? And I said, yeah, sure, here you go. And that makes me feel good because I helped you. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have the honey, but I'm not going to ask you for the honey for fear of list the reasons, right? I am denying you the feeling that I got when I gave to you. So when you deserve and desire something, it's that reciprocity, it's that balance. The universe wants to give, we need to receive, then we need to get, it's this constant flow. So I think, you know, for me, at least, the desire is about the wanting, the needing, and knowing that we're gonna do something with that.
Beautiful. I what really switched for me, and I love that you said that, the deserving, because what switched for me was when I started to get curious about where the desire came from and started to imagine that the desire is actually divinely planted in me. The desire comes from the universe to be seated in me. And of all the people in the universe, it decided that this desire was like floating around everyone and it would be seated in me, like it was seated in that woman, like your desire is seated in you. And it doesn't, it comes out of the ethos and chooses me. And if that's the case, it's not just something that I selfishly want. It's actually a gift that I am responsible for bringing to the world. So when we can get clearer about our desires, Elias, when we can get to a place where we know what we want and we can start to imagine that we are worthy of it because it chose us, then we move into a place of actually wanting to believe that it's possible, believe that we can have that thing. How do you help people switch gears? Because that's sometimes a leap of faith. You know, I really want to be a speaker. I really want to write a book. I really want to find my true love, whatever it is. How do we move from, okay, this is a desire, to believing it's possible?
And I think that is about how we talk to ourselves. I think, you know, how we say to us that I am a writer. I am good enough. I am more than good enough. And it's the I am statement that I start my clients with. I tell them that the I is the intention, the A is the action, and the M is the manifestation. When we start believing in that, that my intention is to write, my action will show that I am writing, things are coming to me, and I'm going to manifest being a writer. Just like when people say, I am stupid. Okay, your intention is to be stupid. Your actions are going to show, because they're hearing that you are calling in more stupidity. So your actions are going to show stupidity, and you're going to manifest more stupidity. The I am is so important. And I think for me, you know, when I said I am in my apprenticeship program, the shamanic apprenticeship program that I did, I let go of the not good enough. And I started saying to myself, I am good enough. I am more than good enough. And I am here to do my best purpose, my divine purpose. And just like the speakers program that I was in, you know, I wanted Sedona really bad. I wanted to be chosen. And I said, if it is in the highest place for me to be there, great. If not, please show me how my role, how my leadership is going to change, and where is this journey going to? I have to trust that, you know, the universe knows what's best, but I am doing the actions. I say this action piece, I told them in Sedona, I said, you know, think about it this way. The universe is the sea, and we're the boat. We're in the boat. And the universe is, you know, going to take us here and there, and we're moving along. We might drift to an island. We might get off that island, play around on that island, go back, push the boat out, kind of drift here and there. Now when we say, hey, we're co-creating, we're intentionally doing the action piece, then now I'm going to take my oars and I'm going to row the boat, or I'm going to take the string and move that, you know, rev up that engine. Now the ocean has waves, and the waves are going to take us to exactly where we need to be. We are co-creating, intentional co-creating, believing, having faith, and trusting, and changing our prospect. And that's what these are the examples that I give my clients. And I tell them my retreats and workshops that we have to take the action and know and trust that we're being led to what's for our highest good. Not my plan. It's never my plan. I mean, even when I do my retreats, I have an outline. I know what I'm going to say, know what I'm going to do. And in the moment, I might get an idea and I'm like, please hold caller, incoming. Yeah. And I will change an exercise like that.
Absolutely. So. I love it. There's so much to what you said that I think the golden nuggets of, we may not feel that it's possible. We may not believe it initially, but the action is so important, because the action does so many things. It signals to the universe, okay, I'm moving in this direction. We may not even feel it. We may not believe it, but I will start to write one page every day from my book. I will start to, you know, think about what I want to talk about if I were on a stage. I'm going to move in this direction. I'm going to write out what I want to find in an ideal partner. And we are sending a message to the universe. I'm ready to dance with you. I'm ready to play with you. So we don't almost even have to believe it at first, but the actions start to build this beautiful momentum. And I love the idea that you're suggesting that we are rowing. You know, we're putting our oars in the water, and we are moving in the direction, and the waves are supporting us. Waves are actually going with us instead of just being carried by the boat. So this idea of co-creation, talk to me a little bit about trust and faith, because I think we can't have this conversation without talking about faith and trust. We might have an intention to row our boat to that island, you know, Santorini. Let's keep with the Greek theme. So I want to get to Santorini. I'm rowing my boat. I see it. It's the place. It's where I'm focused. But I find that my boat, no matter how much I row, is drifting in another direction. Or maybe it's taking me longer than I thought to get there. Or maybe I get there and it's not at all what I expected. Talk to us a little bit about the faith and the trust that wherever we go is exactly the right place in the right time.
So I'll bring up my parents again. And, you know, they were married in 1947 and they wanted children. And my mom was 5 feet tall, weighed 87 pounds when she was married, had an 18-inch waist, very petite, and her body could not hold a child. So they gave up on having children, but I think, and from what she told me in her prayers, you know, help me help children, help me to help families, help me to do that. And if it's each time she got pregnant, if it's meant for me to have a child, please let me have one. Now, she didn't have a child naturally, but she was given. They wanted two children, actually. And we were connected because it was the right time. It was the right place. I'm getting a little choked up here. It was the right moment. And those people, those wonderful parents that I had, they were the ones that were meant for me, and I was meant for them. I wouldn't be who I am today, Gina, if it wasn't for those two amazing people in my life.
Well, let's give some props out to them. I know that they're watching and they're so very proud of you. I always talk about, and I actually said this before our interview, you know, we have some prepared thoughts or topics that we want to talk about, but can we leave a little room for the magic? And I know that for myself, the past 2 years, my life has shifted trajectory so profoundly. I'm a type A controlling, recovering controller, people pleaser. You know, I had a very definite plan for my life, and a lot of it was based on fear. You know, I wanted to line all my ducks in a row so that I would feel safe. My life would be predictable. I can make happiness happen if I just did these things. And then I came to a point in my life, I woke up in my 40s, early 40s, and I was like, I did all these things and I'm not happy and I'm not where I want to be. And so moving forward, getting really clear on my desire, as you say, and then starting to believe that there was another possibility for me. And then, and we didn't talk about gratitude yet, but we do want to bring that piece in of just being grateful for the opportunity to have the awareness. And what happened for me, and what I love about your story, is that I had to leave a little room for the magic. I could never have orchestrated all the perfect pieces to line up and all the right people at the right time to show up and this opportunity to bring me to this space. I had to allow for a little bit of magic. And I love with your parents, you know, your mother could not have predicted all the little parts that would come into play, the person who would influence her, winning that trip, all of the things, allowing for a little bit of the magic for you to come into their lives. And so I think for all of us listening, what's beautiful about your manifestation equation, that trifecta, is that we do all of these things in a space of faith and allowing for the co-creation, allowing for the universe to do their part. If we are co-creating, then we actually have to leave that little space for the universe or God or spirit to add their splash of magic. And that does require faith, because how many times have you felt like, I'm off my path, this is wrong, I'm not doing it, it's not happening fast enough. Talk to us a little bit about the signs along the way. Talk to us about the signals along the way that can help root us in faith when we're on the journey.
And you just brought a really great piece up that I didn't think about till just now. You said in your 40s, things changed for you. Things changed for me at 46. My mom was 46 when she got me. So I just, that sign just there, right then and there, I'm like, I'm getting the chills up and down. Yeah. Not till just this moment did I realize that, wow, I have aligned myself with that and that faith and that trust, because you brought up another good point. We operate on fear. And when we can, and I teach this in my workshops, when we let go of the fear and we operate from a place of love. And I love that when you were talking about gratitude, you were placing your hand here, because that's where gratitude comes from. It comes from here. Thankfulness comes from here. Gratefulness comes from here. Mm. And, you know, when we align these two, like, I always believe that this needs to talk to this instead of this talking to this. Mm. And when we talk and speak and operate from here, this goes right straight up past our crown, right into the universe. And we're in alignment,
yes,
with what we are. I really do my best to operate from love. There are times in these past couple of years I'm like, okay, this didn't happen. I have to know there's something better coming around the corner.
Mm. So are you looking for signs? Like,
Yes.
Yeah. This is such a huge piece for me, because I think we think of a sign, like, God, give me a sign that I'm on the right path. Give me a sign that something better is coming. Give me a sign based on what decision to make. And we think we're going to be like driving down the road and there's like this big neon, like, you know, like with like Oprah going, here it is. Like
here a is,
big
right.
freaking yeah. sign going, hello, Gina, here it is. But right. signs can be beautifully subtle and they can be unexpected and small. Talk to us a little bit about the signs to look for.
I believe the universe whispers, the universe doesn't yell. And we have to be quiet to hear those whispers. Couple signs for me. The one sign was, again, sorry, talking about my parents so much, but my mom, we lived on the southeast side of Chicago and we moved to the north side of Chicago. And when we moved, my mom said, honey, look, there's the robin from the south side of Chicago. And I'm looking at my mother, you know, I'm a teenager now. And I'm like, mom, it's a robin. And she looked at me with the Greek eyebrow. And she said, then why is that robin have a scratch on its chest, just like the one on the south side? Okay. So I let it
can't
go.
Can't argue right? with that. No.
And here's what happened. My mom passed away in 2000. We're at the cemetery. I'm the last one to put the rose on top of the casket. I put the rose on top of the casket. I was saying how much I'm going to miss you, and I know how to connect, but please, you know, always make that connection strong and clear. I got up to look at everybody. Gina, there were 12 robins in a circle around all of us.
Wow.
So that was, you know.
You can't argue with that.
You can't argue, right? You can't. Yeah. I mean, the signs that I asked for, please show me a sign. Show me that I am in the right, you know. Here's the interesting too. Like you said, people are looking for the neon signs, but what happens if you're sitting at a restaurant and you're talking to a friend earlier that day about X, Y, and Z and this subject, and you don't know, you sit at the restaurant, you're sitting there talking to somebody else now, the table behind you is talking about that subject that you just talked about that morning. That is your sign. That is there that you are doing the right thing in the right place at the right moment, that conversation was happening to validate or to push you to what you need to do or what you want, more importantly, want to do. And this is a sign that, yeah, we got you. We got your back. We talk about in the shamanic practice, we talk about holding space. And that is a beautiful way of just allowing the person to be who they are and just being that support system. I like to say on retreats, I'm like, you know, we as staff, my people that are on staff with me, we are the fence around the playground. Here's all the tools. We got you. We're just holding space and holding the safety. And I think that's what the universe does. The universe gives us these tools. We have to find the seesaw. We have to find the swing. We have to get on the swing and go, I like this swing. I like how it feels. Or I think I'm going to throw up. I don't like the swing. You know, and I like the merry-go-round instead. I think it's about knowing that we're trying. And I don't want to use that word try. Knowing that we're experiencing all these pieces and saying, this experience really means a lot. I'm putting that in my tool chest. This one means a lot. I'm going to do that. And wow, this one is really, so now we're going from step to step to step to step. And I think for us, I know this lesson comes up for me a lot, is patience. And I tell clients, and I have to remind myself what you just told that client the other day.
Yeah.
I tell clients, you don't look at a baby when a baby is on the floor going, why are you not running? How come you're not getting up and running?
Right.
Run. You're supposed to run. Well, you have to crawl, to walk, to run.
Yeah. And how beautiful, because you didn't start walking until after 18 months. And so I think that's a beautiful analogy. Like the patience, the timing, having the parents to find you, to give you the right shoes, to have the tools. I think that's such a beautiful, beautiful analogy. I think one final thought, I think, because we can talk forever, you know, that's just what we do. But I think we can't have this conversation without pulling in the idea of intuition and the role that it plays when we're not only co-creating with the universe, when we're not only looking to affirm our desires, when we're not only looking for little clues, but also so much of it is trusting our knowing. You know, we look so much outside of ourselves, and I'm really hoping, I know that this SoulFest online series is so much about self-reliance and resilience.
Yeah.
And although we're listening to other people's stories, what I'm hoping is that it's evoking in each person who's listening a sense of self-trust, because each one of the people that I've interviewed, there's a something in them, a deeper knowing that they paid attention to. So talk to us, you know, give us a little bit of tell us about intuition and the role that it plays, not only in your life, but in manifestation, and why it's so crucial that we trust that part.
I think for me, at least, and my story is that I learned to trust the intuition more and more each day. My perfectionist piece was, you know, what happens if I'm wrong? Okay, then if you're wrong, you're wrong. If at least you went out and did it. If we keep on saying, well, I shoulda, coulda, woulda done this and shoulda done that and shoulda done this, and you know, we're shooting ourselves all over the place. I really think, you know, the intuition piece and tapping into that inner voice. I actually teach a workshop about that. Tapping inside and saying, okay, I'm gonna trust this. I'm gonna trust it. And I'm just going to go with that feeling. I'm going to take a moment to breathe. Coming from here, what does this say? Because the moment that we pop in here and say, well, if we did this and we made a left here, and then that would take us, the moment we get up in here, we lose it. It's that in that inner knowing, you know, that's why the book is called, you know, Whispers to the Heart. I mean, it's that heart piece, that heart knows. And that heart says we have to just trust that. Everyone's like talking about the gut. And yes, I believe, you know, our gut tells us this, but I believe, you know, that gut heart is there, the gut of the heart. And in there, that's where that intuition is like, okay, I'm going to trust. Now, if it doesn't work out, it's okay. It's all right, because Now I'm going to continue to trust that there's something. Again, we go back to that co-creating. The universe has something better for us. You know, Greeks, we could talk about food. You know, I might want one scoop of vanilla ice cream, but the universe wanted us to have a double scoop hot fudge sundae. And that alone, add a vipla, add a baklava to the side. I mean, that maybe that's
what now we're living.
Now we're living, right? Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite morning rituals is I just imagine, I allow myself to dream a little bit, because it was something I really put a lid on as I got older. I was a dreamer as a child. I was a very imaginative kid. I wanted to move to New York and be a dancer, and then the reality of life hit, and I really put a lid on all of my desires and my dreams, and I took the predictable, safe path in every area of my life, you know, in marriage, with children, with even with career. Although I was a speaker, I was, you know, took the corporate safe route instead of really speaking to my heart, which I finally did at 43 years old and told the Too Much Woman speech. And the reason this is so important to me is I wake up in the morning and I allow myself to just dream. And it's like a muscle. It actually is, you know, at first it's hard. It's kind of like, oh, okay, what do I want? It's like hard to, and now I allow myself to go there, and I always end it with this or something better. Yes. This or something better. So thank you so much for allowing us that space to imagine that there's something better, and that there really is no wrong decision, because it's the universe co-creating, maybe moving us to a different island or a different timing for a beautiful, perfect reason. And I love that so much of your story is predicated on these synchronistic events, when it's really the universe working with you, with your parents, with your family, to provide you with this opportunity and land you in this interview. It's all just so perfect. I know that people would love to know a little bit more about you. So let's move into our personal questions. Tell me quickly, without overthinking it, what's your favorite sound?
I have to say the favorite sound is the ocean.
Same.
Ocean.
Same. I love it. I actually go to sleep every night listening to the ocean. Not that I live nearby it. That's one of my desires, universe, to live on the, are you listening? I've been asking for this for a long time. I'm in Toronto, Canada. It's not happened yet, but I love the ocean as well. If you weren't doing this work, what else would you be doing? What other profession calls to you?
You know, I always think it's of service. You know, when I was younger, I wanted to do special education. I wanted to work with animals, work with geriatrics. So it is of, I mean, I would say if I could do it all again, I would either do, you know, psychology, be a vet, or be a doctor.
Awesome. All loving, healing professions. What would we be surprised to know about you, Elias?
You know, I think sometimes, you know, when you see a speaker, myself or any of the amazing speakers that you see, who you see is who you get. I mean, I can be super serious, and I can be super loving, and I can be super joking. And I believe in our life, we need laughter. And I know people are coming, you know, to when I lead a workshop, and they're all with their pen and paper and they're all ready. I'm like, guys, we're going to have some fun today. We're going to have fun in the experience. So I think, you know, people get to see who you see today is who you always see, even behind the scenes.
So you like to have some fun.
I want to be that, have that integrity.
Yeah. I can sense that. Okay, last hard question.
Yes.
There's a billboard. It's a sign that we're all driving on the highway, and there's a billboard with your name on it. What is the message that you all want us to leave with today?
My message would be to empower self by rising above it. And I think that, you know, we can empower. If we set our limits here, okay. But again, going back to the universe, our universe wants to be here. So let's rise above this and go, how can I do more? How can I be more? How can I change more for self, but also in that way we change for others, and it's that domino effect. One heart touches another heart. I always say that, you know, to do this work, if I talk to 10 people, great. And I hope I make a change with just one person. And then that one person could then talk to 20 or maybe 50. And maybe I talk to 100 people. And out of those 100 people, maybe half of them get it or understand it. And they're now going to go out and say, hey, I heard this and this and this. And why don't you try this and this? Now they made a change. I think, to me, community is so important. And when we rise above it and we empower ourselves and rise even higher, so important.
So beautiful. It's almost as if the universe is leaning over and whispering, bigger, go bigger, go bigger.
And we have the ability to do it.
We do. Tell us where we can go to learn more about you and your work.
So my website is www.eliaspatras.com. So it's my name. And you can find me on social media. On Instagram, you can find me Elias_Patras. And on Facebook, on my business page, it's just my name, Elias Patras.
Amazing. I know you have a free gift for all of our listeners, which is a beautiful guided meditation. What can we expect with that?
With my guided meditation, it's a few good juicy pieces in there. We're going to ground and center and open up the possibilities of manifesting.
Love that. I love that. Thank you so very much for your time, for being here, for being open about your experience, and for giving us all these juicy nuggets. This was such a fun interview. And I really just love your energy and your sincerity. And I think we all have so much to learn from the way that you show up and you invite us to co-create with the universe. So I'm so excited to read your book and to follow your path. Thank you. Thank you on behalf of all of us for being here. For all of you, thank you also for joining the Celebrate Your Life's online Soul Fest. Of course, you know that this is not the end. The conversation continues in our Facebook group. You can leave a comment here below. You can ask a question of Elias. You will come back and you will circle back. We want to know what your greatest takeaway was, what your aha moment was. But please do join our Facebook group. We'll be in there playing and having fun. The party continues. And if you know anyone who would benefit from this, please share this online fest with anyone that you know and love. My name is Gina. It was such a pleasure to dance this dance with you. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you the next time. Bye for now.